This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. And Jason and Tex with you this evening from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. A big thank you to Doug and the team from the Rainbow Report, another fantastic show. But Tex, it's you and I back on air this week. How are you doing?
Well, Jason, as you know, but the poor listener doesn't know, I've been off with a bit of a cold.
You still sound a little bit puffed up.
A little bit croaky and husky, but I'm just calling it my husky and sexy voice for tonight. but yes, Jason, it is nice to be back on air with you. I've had a few weeks with Adam, and that's always nice to be with Adam, but it's a thrill to be on air with you. How are you?
I'm well. I'm very excited about tonight's show.
Oh, Jason, I've got a very important question for you.
Shoot.
Bang. What's on the show this week?
Well, we're about to be joined shortly by Grant Davies from the Office of the Health Services Commissioner. Mm-hmm. So we'll be hearing about all of the services that they provide, as well as what they can offer to the listener. And we'll also be covering the usual, which is a little bit of news about HIV or other health-related issues, and talking about some events in and around the community that'll help keep you healthy and happy.
Oh, good. Well, we like to be healthy, and I love being happy.
Well, that's good. Is it because it's Friday tomorrow? Is that what's going to make you happy?
Quite possibly. Jason, we love to hear from our listener. We just say this every week, but we do. We like to hear from our listener. What are the multitude of platforms that they can get in contact with us via tonight?
Well, if you want, I say start by Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook and stay up to date on what's happening between shows and what we've got covered next week. And you can do so by going to facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Mm-hmm. Or you can stay in touch with us during the show and SMS 0427JOY949. Or email onair@joy.org.au. Or if you want to speak to a real live person, text. I think there's someone here as well.
Robbie's out there.
Indeed there is. And so give Robbie a call, have a chat, and let us know what you think.
And the phone number, of course, is 1300-JOY-949. But even more than that, Jason, our listener has... Dear listener, if you're not already a member of Joy 94.9, you can help us to continue providing great radio for our diverse communities here in Melbourne, around Victoria, around Australia, and indeed around the world. And Radiothon ended, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, mm-hmm. but that was the on-air part of Radiothon. The actual competition finishes at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. So you have until 6 p.m. to go in the running to win a 2012. Well, that sounds better. A bit old for that. 2012 Swift GLX manual in Boost Blue from Yara Suzuki, and I'm assured that's a car. single membership, just $72 a year, which we discussed during the radiothon, Jason. That's only $1.50 a week. Concession is $36 a year, under 18 is $22, a family is just $96, and if you're a business or an organisation, you can join and show your support for $165. But you need to join up before 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Call now, speak to the gorgeous Robbie, 1300-JOY-949.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Calvin Harris featuring Ellie Goulding with I Need Your Love.
Indeed. Well, it was a nice bouncy track, and I say that, Jason, because you were bashing the desk with either with your pen or a ring or something the entire way through the track.
I think I was either snapping my fingers or tapping along on the desk.
Yeah, there was not a snap going on. It's more of a bash. Anyway, it's time for that time of the show when we do our news snippets. We need to shuffle the papers. So you know we're doing our news snippet.
Switch gears.
And we switch gears. And Jason, what's the topic tonight?
Well, tonight is all about HIV AIDS in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And there was a recent study that was published in AIDSMap.com that... for the first time, has shown that over half of people living with AIDS in the city were aged over the age of 50. Mm-hmm. So the researchers in the States looked at the HIV/AIDS case registry to examine the trends in kind of age distribution of people living with AIDS in the city between 1990 and 2010. And also age trends and new AIDS diagnoses over the same time. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that at the end of 2010, there were just shy of 10,000 people living with AIDS in San Francisco. And we should point out that this is people living with an AIDS diagnosis, not just an HIV diagnosis.
Yeah, that was one of the points that I brought up with you when we were discussing this before the show, that are they talking about people with HIV? Are they actually talking people with an AIDS-defining illness? And as it happens, this particular story is talking about people with AIDS, as in an AIDS-defining illness.
Mm. So what they found was that of those 10,000 people, just over 50% were over the age of 50, and that the proportion of people aged over 50 increased steadily over the 20 years of the study. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to 1990, just 10% of people living with AIDS in the city were 50 years old or older. Mm-hmm. And gradually over time since then, it's reached over 50%.
Yeah, and look, there's a similar trend across the United States of America with the proportion of older AIDS patients increasing, for example, from 20% in 2001 to 39% in 2009, which really brings San Francisco, highlights San Francisco as being, if you like, the gay mecca, or once was known as the gay mecca, and where loads of people living with HIV have either been diagnosed and live there or have gone there.
Yeah. Now, what's also coincided with that is a sharp fall in the number of new AIDS diagnoses in San Francisco over that time as well. And, you know, over time, the treatment for HIV has become much more successful.
Yep.
And we've seen a decrease in the number of AIDS diagnoses in Australia as well. Mm. Things have changed. And, you know, I think it's pointing to the fact that as this trend continues, we're going to see people becoming living with AIDS or even living with an HIV infection into older age. And, you know, it means that we're going to need to see some overlap of, you know, HIV medicine with other medical specialties to deal with the complexity of HIV and aging in an aging population.
Oh, look, indeed, as well as things like aged care services.
Indeed.
And palliative care services as well. As we know, the population is aging steadily, and to a degree, this is mirroring this as well. With the successful anti-HIV treatments, people are living a lot longer and living better lives and healthier lives. But I'm talking about here in Australia, so this is a similar sort of situation in the USA.
But you know, as older people now with HIV are facing both HIV-related issues, but also age-related issues. You know, so the typical stuff like high blood pressure, chronic pain, arthritis. You know, these are all things that are going to be faced by people of that previously. I mean, imagine a lot of those when they were diagnosed. Wouldn't have considered they would have had to deal with.
And they talk about the need, as there's an ageing workforce group, an ageing working group, they've emphasised the need for an interaction on age and HIV infection and also increase community support, caregivers, and sort of the systems infrastructure as well.
And I think we should give a shout out to Lizzie from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, who works down at HIV services, because she's done some fantastic work in the area of HIV and aging, and it's definitely becoming a focus area, if you will.
Yep.
But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And after this break, we'll be joined by Grant Davies from the Office of the Health Services Commissioner. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining us in the studio this evening is Grant Davies from the Office of the Health Services Commissioner. Welcome to Well, 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 Grant.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Tex.
Thank you.
Now, before we get into all the nitty-gritty stuff, maybe let's start a little bit about you. Tell us about you.
Oh, a bit warm and fuzzy.
The warm and fuzzy stuff, exactly.
Okay, so I started life as a registered nurse in Queensland. I was one of the last hospital-trained nurses going through Queensland at the Royal Brisbane Hospital and finished that and did oncology and palliative care nursing. Had a real passion for it. Got seconded into Queensland Health to do palliative care policy. Did that for a few years. Really loved it. Got headhunted to do the same sort of work in Victoria in the Department of Human Services. Loved that too. Took a bit of a time to acclimatise to the weather, as people will appreciate this week. But then moved over into working in the aged care area for the federal government in complaints. Ended up being the investigations manager in the aged care commissioner's office and moved into the Office of the Health Services Commissioner after that.
So, Grant, what's your role? What's your role there at the Office of the Health Services Commissioner? It's only got one is in it. Yep.
Yes. I've had a couple of roles in that office. I came on board as the Deputy Commissioner. It was the first Deputy Commissioner in that office. And my role was to coordinate and manage the complaints team, which is our core business. So I did that for 3.5 years, and now since the 1st of January, I have been the Acting Health Services Commissioner.
Oh, good heavens. So how long have you been with the Commission?
It's almost 4 years now.
Really? And what is your role, I guess, now as Acting Health Services Commissioner? What does that entail?
I see my role as being a leader of the organisation, setting the strategic direction, in consultation with the staff, obviously. Creating a space for the staff, for my people to do their work. So dealing with government, dealing with stakeholders, making sure they've got the resources to do their work, making sure that, you know, we are making good decisions.
And is it also about public relations, for example, letting people know that the Commission exists?
Absolutely. That's another significant part of my role in as the Acting Health Services Commissioner. I see myself as promoting the office as much as I can, and you know, I do things like speaking to university courses, you know, health service courses around the work of the office and about complaints. One of the things that we take very seriously is ensuring that health services and health professionals know how to do good complaints management.
Well, we might take a break to listen to some music. We've got a track from Nislopi. You happy to stick around and chat some more?
Absolutely.
Excellent. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Dad Bruce Lee drives me round in his JCB.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Nislopi with JCB.
And Jason, of course, we've had a couple of messages in already tonight. We've had one in from Nick who's saying, g'day to you and me. Looking forward to a great show. Well, Nick, you're in the middle of it. And another one from Adina.
Oh, but it must be sent to the wrong place because it's to Tessie Marie and Celine.
I can't imagine what that. Have a great
must
show.
Must have been sent to the wrong number.
Loving my night off, unless that could perhaps be Adam calling himself that. And we've had another one from Matt Dixon, the Executive Director of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, who said, hey, fellas, make sure you acknowledge Grant's amazing contribution to the Victorian AIDS Council Obliquestra at Gay Men's Health Centre as a volunteer. Cheers, Matt. Well, thank you, Matt.
Oh, that's
and
very
thank
kind,
you, Grant.
Well, thanks, Tex.
You left that one out of your little introduction.
Yes.
How long were you a volunteer at VAC?
I was volunteering at VAC for about 13 years.
Jeez.
Yes, in a variety of capacities, mainly as a night manager. I sort of flew the desk there on Thursday night.
That's right. You used to see us as we would depart to come
That's
down
right.
to join.
That's right. in various states of panic. And having travelled in a car with you, Jason, you do sing a little bit like Celine.
Oh, stop it. I don't know if I should be blushing because I'm... Is that a good thing?
and mainly to... who was it?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't really matter who it is. If it's in, anyway.
Well, no, we won't just move along just for a second because I have yet to have a car ride with Jason where Jason is singing along.
You clearly just tune out in the car then, Tex, because I am often singing along.
Well, there you go. Let's get on with the interview.
No, let's get on to the fact that you ignore me in the car. No. Grant's heard much, much more of my singing. I'll give him
he
that.
He must have.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, back to what we were talking about before, the Office of the Health Services Commissioner. Now, you told us about your role. You've been there for about 4 years or so. What is the office? Tell us about this.
The Office of the Health Services Commissioner is an independent, free, voluntary service that takes complaints and helps resolve complaints about health services in Victoria.
Okay, so it is specific to services offered within the state of Victoria?
That's right. Doctors, nurses, physios, hospitals, GP clinics, anything that's a health service falls within our jurisdiction.
Okay. So if someone is from Victoria but a situation's developed where they've needed medical care interstate, they would have to then take that concern or that complaint to the commissioner or their, you know, the equivalent thereof in the particular state.
Yep, that's right. And there's one in every state and territory in Australia. Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of services does the office offer, other than kind of managing?
I guess the best way to describe that is talk a little bit about what happens when we get complaints. So,
sure.
We have fundamentally three processes that in the office. When we receive a complaint, and I'll elaborate on that a little bit later, it goes into what we call our assessment. Mm-hmm. Phase. And, you know, we've got 84 days in the original Act, the Health Services Conciliation and Review Act, which is a mouthful.
Many, many papers. Many sheets of paper.
To assess the complaint and attempt to resolve it. If we're unsuccessful in that, we need to refer it into a phase called conciliation, which attempts to bring the parties together to generate solutions between them. So yeah. We find that the core of our complaints, communication, underlies just about all of them. So if we can get the parties talking together to generate solutions between them, then they're sustainable and every child goes home tired but happy.
But I guess let's take it back a bit. What kind of things... can the public make a complaint about with regards to health services?
It doesn't vary all that much. We have complaints about treatment, about access to healthcare. In terms of treatment, we're talking about inadequate treatment, inadequate diagnosis, rough treatment, negligent treatment. Access, delays in admissions, waiting times, delays in service or inadequate service, mm-hmm. The cost of care. One of the things that we talk about is informed consent in healthcare, and that's one of our guiding principles. But we also talk about informed financial consent. So health providers need to be upfront about the cost to the individual. As I said, communication underlies a lot of the stuff that we do, and some rights-based issues.
All right. Well, we'll chat a bit more, but this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we are chatting to Grant Davies of the Office of the Health Services Commissioner.
Now, Grant, before we went to those important messages, you were talking about the different types of things that people can make a complaint about. Yep. What about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer or questioning people, or issues relating to HIV? Are they issues that come up, or are they issues that you can look at?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the more general GLBTIQ issues, they apply insofar as everyone accesses health services. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get questions about discrimination or possible discrimination. It's not within our jurisdiction to sort of handle that. That's the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission's job. And they're much better suited and much better resourced to deal with those types of issues. Sometimes we'll get complaints about people or health services refusing to do particular types of work, like
procedures or
STI testing, just as an example. Mm-hmm. And what needs to happen in that instance is that the health service needs to refer the individual to a health service that can provide that.
Yeah. All right. So we were going through the process of what happens with that complaint. But if someone did have something that they wanted to make a complaint about, how does that process work?
So we have a number of ways that people can contact us. They can call us on our toll-free number, 1-800-136-066, or on our complaints line, which is a local call, 8601-5200. They can access our online complaint form on our website, which is at www.health.vic.gov.au/HSC. Or they can write to us using either a complaint form or a letter, and we'll receive those complaints.
And so what happens next?
It comes into the office. We assess whether it's within our jurisdiction to deal with. We'll then seek the consumer's authority to pass that information on to the health service. One of the other pieces of legislation that we administer is the Health Records Act, and we like to model appropriate handling of health information, mm-hmm. so we make sure that we get permission to do that.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's very disconcerting. So we send it to the health service once we've got permission to do that, and we ask them to respond to the claims being made in the complaint. 80% of our complaints, and we get around 2,500 complaints a year, we get about 8,000 inquiries, are resolved in our assessment phase. And we have around 84 days, we have 84 days to resolve a complaint in that phase. If the matters are complex, or if there are things like compensation outcomes that people are wanting, we need to refer it into conciliation, and that's where we get people together.
So what kind of outcomes do people generally obtain when they go through that process?
An explanation is a really important one, an apology. A lot of the complaints resolution literature talks about apology as being a really powerful tool. But some work in my office has indicated that explanation is equally, if not more, powerful. And explanation combined with apology accounts for about 85% of our outcomes. A policy change, a practice change, compensation, and that can take a variety of forms.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the whole issue of health records, and something that's kind of come into light recently is the movement towards e-health.
Yeah.
How is that? Do you foresee that impacting on your office, or
we are able to take complaints about the misuse of the unique identifier that Medicare allocates to person-controlled electronic health records, PCEHR.
Another great acronym.
Yeah, it's the government. we see that as a really useful approach by the government. People get very tired of telling their story over and over and over again in different settings, particularly if there are complex and chronic issues that they keep talking about. So the PCEHR is a really useful mechanism to avoid errors in transcription and to, you know, have it available when health services need it.
So do they, just with that card, I mean, because I haven't heard much about it. Jason, you said you had one, you received an application form or something in the mail?
I've registered for the e-health, as I'll call it. I don't need an acronym for that.
Right, fantastic. I haven't, so I'm, you know, it's a great big world of mystery out there for me. So that basically means is that everybody's history is on the card, and as you said, instead of them having to recount time after time after time, the person can just put it in a reader or... tap the number into a computer and something comes up?
No, I don't think it quite works like that, Tex.
So it's an electronic health record.
Yeah.
So rather than having files at separate practices, there's one electronic file that patients can consent to provide to have a health service provider obtain access to.
Oh, right. That's helpful. Thank you.
But maybe that's something we need to cover in another show. Mm. We're going to listen to a bit of music. We've got Dragonette with The Right Woman here on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Dragonette with Right Woman.
Mm.
Mm.
A great name for the band.
Oh, thank you. Anyone that listens to our show regularly would know that I like to put a little bit of Dragonette in every now and then. It's kind of like that singer that you had on your show, your program last week.
The one that I've played only twice this year, the immortal Dusty Springfield, indeed.
No, not Dusty. Dusty, I have no problem
with. Which one?
It'll
not the one who sings Doris Day?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That CD can really go walk about if it needs to. If you've just joined us, we are chatting to Grant Davies from the Office of the Health Services Commissioner. Before the break, we were talking essentially about how the office manages complaints. Surely it's not all about complaints and complaining.
That is our core business, but we do other stuff like we provide training courses in health privacy. I do a lot of work with universities around talking to their health professional courses around how to do complaints. And
so is it kind of helping people make sense of those green booklets, the stack of pages that are the acts?
That's right. The other thing that we do is we get some very talented university students from various universities to come in and do research projects with us, which, you know, is good for them and good for us. We are a fairly lean office, I have a group of very talented people working there, and they're very committed, but we don't get to things like what does this mean in terms of complaints handling, how can we expand our knowledge of our practice, and how do we increase the research base for our work. So we get help with that, so it's good.
Grant, when you, you said that you go out to universities, in fact you said at the start and you've repeated that you go out to universities and speak to health professionals, is it also to health professionals in training?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So is it to make them aware that, if they stuff up, that, there is a facility for people, the GP, the general public out there, that can actually, that could affect their career?
We try to demystify complaints, text. Complaints, we see complaints as being really useful quality improvement tools. So we try not to scare the horses. We've had some Professor David Studdett and his team from the University of Melbourne has done a fair bit of work with our data and data around the country looking at what he describes as frequent flyer doctors and what that looks like in terms of if you get one complaint, how likely are you to get another one, and if you get a second one, how likely are you to get more complaints. It doesn't really affect. We are required to consult with the registration boards when we get complaints about registered practitioners, we make a decision about who's best suited to handle those complaints. So
now you mentioned that you go about training up practitioners about the acts that upon which they need to comply.
Yep.
But do you do any work with I guess patients around trying to prevent that from happening and kind of building on the relationship?
Yeah, one
with
of the things that I say a lot is that healthcare is a partnership between consumers and health professionals. So, no question is a stupid question. You need to be active participants. You need to be literate in healthcare, and you need to participate as a partner with your health provider.
Which I think is difficult at times, though, given the position of power that often health service providers have been placed in our society.
Sure, but like any human endeavour, they don't always have all the answers.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening. If the listener wanted more information, do you mind repeating those contact details?
Sure. Our website is www.health.vic.gov.au/HSC, or you can call our toll-free number 1800 136 066.
Brilliant. Well, we'll make sure that we put the link up to the website on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. But thank you again for joining us. It was
It was
interesting to see the inner workings and what you can find to the listener. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Julia Zamiro, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Lucky you.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was a little bit more of Ms. Lopey with Part of Me.
Mm-hmm.
You liked that song, didn't you, Tex?
I did, actually, and I love the when you pointed out the lyrics, A Part of Me is Gay, and the list of all those gorgeous people, most of whom are still alive, and quite a lot of them still in office, political office. Indeed, part of them is gay. Now, Jason, it's that time of the show when we do the snippets of news, and we've got a delectable selection, but two we want to concentrate on. And I want to ask you, Jason, who, what, or where is Agent 284?
Well, Agent 284 is a venue in Smith Street.
It's a place, a physical location.
It is. And they are presenting the fundraiser, which is going to be hosted by Kate McLennan. And she'll be joined by Joel Creasy, Wes Snelling, Cal Wilson, Claire Hooper, Nicolette Minster, Harley Brain. Massive lineup. And it's all to raise money for the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. There'll be opportunities for silent auctions, some trivia. Some of the prizes will be, or for the silent auction, will be tickets to Pink, as well as tickets to King Kong.
Oh, yes.
Yes, very, very
exciting.
But
you went to see.
No, I'm going to see on Wednesday.
Oh, you're going to see, right?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
And what does the ticket include?
The ticket includes a champagne on arrival and canapes.
Ooh.
And obviously, a night of great entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to find out more, it is happening on Saturday, the 29th of June.
Mm-hmm.
So not this Saturday, but Saturday week.
Yep.
And if you want more information, you can go to agent284.com.au and pick up your tickets.
Fantastic. Mm. That sounds really good. Now, Jason, I thought about time we let the listener know that during July, here on Well, 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 we're going to be concentrating on living history. And that is to say, we're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. So we have four shows in July. They're on the 4th, the 11th, the 18th, and the 7 days after that. So
I was impressed that you've got the first dates. So.
I know the 4th because I'm actually, that's the show I'm doing. So the four shows in July are going to feature guests who are or have been associated with the Victorian AIDS Council over the past three decades.
It's very exciting. So we're going to be covering the 80s, the 90s, the noughties, and now.
That's right.
So you've got the 4th of July.
I've got the first show, and I'm hurriedly deciding which guests to have because there are so many people to pick from. Mm. We have a Joy person, a Joy volunteer, and a Victorian AIDS Council volunteer in the second show, and then the third and fourth we're still working on at the moment.
But it's going to be
Yes, darling, I won't talk over you.
I think it's going to be a fascinating month of well. Because I know that even for myself, I feel like I'll be learning quite a bit about the history of the organisation during that time, and I'm sure the listener will as well.
And just very quickly, during the month of July, there will be an exhibition of posters, 30 years of safe sex, I think it's been called. That's going to be happening at the Public Records Office, but we'll be giving you lots of advance notice about that, and there are going to be some lectures in the lead up to the launch of a book and a website.
But it is that time of the show.
Oh, it's not time to go.
I'm going to shut you up. Oh. Sorry.
Where's the gag?
But a big thank you to Grant Davies from the Office of the Health Services Commissioner for joining us this evening.
And that information is already up on our Facebook page.
You're a star. Anyone you'd like to say hello to?
I do need to let people know that coming up at next is Course Hide and Seek with the delicious Andrew and Dean. And we do need to thank everyone who has joined up or renewed their membership. Remember, you've got until 6 p.m. tomorrow night to get in the running to win that car. Who are we having as the last track?
We've got a little bit of Adele.
Adele.
Adina would be so happy. Mm. Adele with Set Fire to the Rain.
That will be gorgeous. We'll be back next week with another sensational show. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.